You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Minow, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Minow and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number two. Minow and the Mayor, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, and of course the Civic Media app, 54 in Green Bay, 54 in Appleton, 55 in Oshkosh, and a great looking week, isn't it though?
And weekend.
And one of the things you do is go to the...
Well, the Packer game.
Oktoberfest?
But Saturday, the pregame, we are going to the
I put the accent
on the wrong syllable. I know. You're right. Oktoberfest.
I've just had a revelation. All these years, I've just gotten up in the morning. If I had gotten up to rush every morning you guys have just done.
Absolutely.
My life would have been totally different.
Absolutely.
I've been bounding out of bed. Absolutely. Rushing to work.
There you go. That's our goal. That's one of our many goals.
You know what I just read? And I did it this morning. I just read that if you get, first thing you do when you get up is do as many push-ups as you can.
Oh, right.
You'll have the same amount of getting you up type thing as caffeine. Same type of thing.
No.
Yes.
With one push-up.
I didn't say
you said as many as we could. One push-up will give you that same rush.
As much of a boost as caffeine.
How come you're on your third cup of coffee then?
I'll read it. I'll find it for you.
Mino, I got to share that cover album that album cover.
Orleans,
right? Yeah. Kind of a scary one.
Uh-huh.
Do you know
uh-huh.
what song was on that one?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
No, that's a good song.
That was their biggest of all time.
One of the biggest,
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Remember when ABC used this as their campaign?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was back in the heyday of Charlie's Angels and those shows on ABC. Oh, man.
I mean, those
Battle
lineups,
of the Network Stars.
Yes.
They should bring that back. They need to bring Wonder Woman back to the 50 meter. That was incredible. That was right when I was in college, starting college. And people would talk about the TV lineups, like it would be Happy Days and Mork and Mindy and Laverne and Shirley. Then there'd be another night with the Charlie's Angels and something else.
And they all had great opening songs back then.
Absolutely. Yeah. No question about it. And I remember I had a programming class. And that was a really fun class at ASU. I didn't study much. We had programming class. And That was cool, where it's like, you had to try to learn flow with your lineup and all those kind of things. It was really interesting. Yeah. And it's right during that heyday.
It was.
So it was really a lot of fun.
It was. And talking about Orleans, Love Takes Time is one of the great songs, I think, of the entire 70s, 80s.
Did you do radio?
I did.
Where at?
Back in Springfield, Illinois.
Okay.
I'm surprised the legend hasn't made it here that you would know that. I was morning drive in college.
Really?
Yes. And actually, I started
Wait, at commercial station or college station?
A college station, but we had a 50,000-watt station.
Oh.
And there we go. Here we go. Love Takes Time by Orleans.
Okay, I want to play a little game.
All right.
Daryl, I'm going to start the song again. Can you walk the ramp?
I'm going to try
here.
Okay.
Let's try it. Let's see how it goes.
All right.
Good morning, everyone. We're with Minow and the Mayor. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And what a way to start your day with a band by the name of Orleans, taking it back to the 70s on 97.9.
That was good.
Not bad.
Wow.
That was good.
That was really good.
That was good.
That was really good.
Yep. That was very good.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. I did not know that.
Thank you, Todd.
Yeah.
You just transported me back in time.
Yeah. That was
outstanding.
You had great recall because that was great.
Where'd you go to school?
University of Illinois, Springfield.
Ah, okay.
And back to the 50,000-watt radio station, I spun classical music in the morning, my very first job, and then I had a chance to move up to rock and roll stuff later on.
Oh, you've got the voice to do both. You know, you could classical, do both of them, classical or rock and
interesting.
Roll.
Wow.
You're talking classical rock or no, classical music.
I wish I was talking classical. Okay. But you know what? I have to say, at dinner parties and events like that, I can talk about Rachmaninoff and I can talk about, you know, the Beethoven, Bach, and know what I'm talking about. And it all goes back to my college days, you know, where we were an NPR station back then. Yeah. And, but it was a wonderful experience.
National Public Radio, those kind of
things? Well, sure.
Of course it does.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I mean with the colleges. Do colleges still have those?
Well, they do, but because most of them are now.
Our frequency right here used to be GPs.
Right.
Well, now my old station is all professional staff, but back then they had professional staff, and my career started thanks to them taking a chance on me on that 50,000-watt radio station.
That's cool.
But there's still the small college radio stations. I mean, St. Norbert.
Oh, most
has
of them.
They still teach.
Most of the small college radio stations, the reason I mentioned 50,000 watts is we boomed out all over the place.
Right.
Most college radio stations, you barely get to four dorms over.
That's what I was thinking. Absolutely.
But what's cool is it's still there.
Yeah, it's still there.
That's what I was asking. Yeah. If those kind
in fact, I'm going to brag for
a
second.
I didn't know commercial took everything over.
My son, Jeff, our son, Jeff, who's in television now, was the college radio station host of the year at Illinois State University.
At Cornell?
In Bloomington, Illinois. And because they put so much emphasis on radio and television there for the young people, and he just loved it. He ate it, he breathed it, and he loved the history of it.
That's awesome.
And Norbert's... Did they invite you to be a guest? I thought they would at St. Norbert. You know, they were always looking for, and I was over there, and you're right, it went to four dorms. But they were so into that radio. I don't know what happened to those couple of those kids that were really working.
Well, I mean, we didn't
but,
I went to Arizona State, and we didn't have one. I that would have been awesome to have
one. Oh,
there
you go bragging again,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, I know, right? But we didn't
even
have
one. We went to these little state schools. Yeah. You went to the big boomer out there in Arizona.
Hey, you saw my ACT.
I did. It's better than I thought.
I did 23. What did you have?
What was it like going to ASU? Were you able to get on the air there? And I mean, was it?
It was. There were like 500 kids in the
program.
That's
what I thought.
You had to get an internship. The big thing was getting an internship. Mm-hmm. That's where I learned 95% of what I knew about TV and broadcasting and the whole thing. Literally, I got from my internship versus school.
Right.
And I hate to say it. It's the Walter Cronkite School of Broadcasting. I'm sure it's much better now. But it was like. When I went there, it was like overwhelming the people. That's when the first people from the Midwest were moving to Arizona, and it was like dirt cheap. And then all of a sudden, just while it was the influx was crazy. Mm-hmm. So it was just too many students for what they had to offer.
That's the reason I selected the University of Illinois Springfield, because I had a chance to be on the air. I was headed for Southern Illinois University, which had a tremendous reputation back then, but they told me I would be at least a junior before I had a shot on the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Internships, you know, I would remember giving a State of the City one time and just really calling on the businesses in our community to offer internships, and they're not easy, right? It's not babysitting, but it's not, you know, the most productive employee in the building. But boy, do we have an obligation as people a little older, a little bit more seasoned to offer internships.
And then those kids or whomever have an obligation that we're opening the door for you.
Right, right.
Because you've seen it so many times, they don't take advantage.
Right. And the other thing is that it's kind of a period of discernment, too. Like, maybe I don't want to do this. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
I really harken back to that. And people who are listening, internships they're great. I mean, they're great for the student, and they can be good for your company. Yeah. It's just, you got to have a program. It's got to be laid out. It's got to have goals. Because you don't want to get some college kid that really wants to be in radio and have them go filing all day. Well, it's like, come on.
And I've always said this. The reason Aaron Rodgers had a quarterback coach is you need practice. And you need to have mentors who are showing you the way. You cannot go on radio and television and not know what you're doing and fool anyone.
Nobody.
It's one profession where there is no shortcut.
Yeah, you can be mayor for 16 years and walk into a studio. You can do that.
How did you get here, John?
You called me.
I did. So, so Daryl, I want to talk this.
But I would say the one thing though too. As far as with the internship type things, I've seen it both ways. I've seen where the kids come in and they just embrace it, and I always tell them when you get an internship, do me a favor. Find something. Find one thing there, wherever, what station, wherever you're at, where you can take a little bit of the load off of somebody that actually works there. If you will be so invaluable, if you can find the slightest thing where you're actually making their job a little bit easier, you're in.
Right.
But if you're making their job harder because they have to babysit you and all that, you're out.
Well, that's what my son did, and I give him so much credit for this. He got a job at the same time at a commercial radio station, and John, he did that very thing. If they needed a cup of coffee, he went and got it.
Yep.
And they, in turn, took the time and effort to help him on his way.
That's exactly it. And that can be a difference breaker on your career.
Yeah, and I think an intern, and we tried to give them the word confidence, but if you have an idea, let us know. I mean, when I was in government, it was a little bit different, right? But, I mean, some of those kids, you know, those juniors, seniors at Norbert's and at TC and here at GB, it's like, wow, this is great. I mean, we've learned something from you, too. So I think they got to speak up and not just – I feel bad. My kid, they were all interns, but one of them got a job, and it was just filing.
Yeah,
it's like, you know what?
It's a waste of time.
It is. It's not, so you were at XYZ, great company, but I mean, come on. That's not why we hire interns. We hire interns to learn a little bit, but to actually teach them. And if you have a program in place, they can be very, very valuable for both entities, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, one of our interns at the TV station one year was Tammy Elliott.
Right. Look
and
at her.
Tammy Elliott took that and ran with it.
I didn't know things turned out pretty well.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Wow.
So, I mean, those are the kind of things that, you know, that's the, and we had, you know, a whole bunch of other ones that went on to other great professions, but that was the key. They would, when that person walked through the door, it wasn't, oh, I got to find something for them to do. It's, okay, good, they're here.
Right.
They can.
There you go.
All the difference in the world.
Seize the opportunity.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
So, hey, Darryl, I got to ask you one quick question. I mean, but do you still follow football as much as you used to and everything, or?
Well, we were immersed in it,
well,
you know,
I mean,
when
ridiculous.
Back in the day. So I don't follow it that closely, but I do follow it to the point where I'm interested in what's happening, especially, you know, with this whole NIL thing at the college level and how it's affecting the pros and what the pros are doing and certain things like that. I find it fascinating. But what I don't have anymore is that 24/7 mentality of I have to know what's going on at all times.
You know, that's exactly right. It's who was I talking to about that? That was a Packer beat writer, maybe Wes Hod, one of them, where they're still involved, but it's not that every day where you wake up in the morning and think to yourself, okay, I got to see what the other guys have. Did I miss something overnight? That thing wore a person out, didn't it though?
Oh, and here we go again.
Go ahead, hit the rap,
talk us into the break here. You're with the two best guys in Green Bay right now, Mino and the Mayor, on 97.9 WGBW.
Nice.
Dance with me. I want to be a partner. Can't you see? The music is just starting. Night is calling.
Hey, it's time for our Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest on WGBW and WISS. It's your chance to win cash or jewelry and to qualify for the grand prize, a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see Green Bay take on New Orleans in Green Bay on December 23rd.
And listen closely. This hour's keyword is green. G-R-E-E-N. That's green. Download the Civic Media app, find our stations, and use the text button at the bottom of your screen to send the keyword for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
All right. Again, this hour's keyword is green. Your next chance to play is coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach on Matinair on Air. Again, the word is green. You've got till the end of the hour to text in for your shot to win in this statewide contest.
Nicely done, Darryl.
Yes.
Thank you, John.
You got the pipes working today. Got the whole thing going. Jim's saying hello to our next guests. Darryl, we're talking a little bit about football, though. Isn't it crazy how things have changed? You know, every Friday we have a different Packer player on. We had Matt Brock the other day. We had Yurko. Who else have we had, Todd? Don Davey.
Yeah.
Rich Moran. Okay. And to a man, especially the linemen. They say what they would give to go back 25 years or whatever. because they would be able to play so many more years because their bodies got so beat up from practices.
Oh, yes.
That's what ended their careers, kind of, is just wore you down in those days.
Well, you know, it's a lot like boxing.
Yeah.
There's so much of the pain and the hitting that takes place away from game day.
Exactly.
And you're absolutely right. It's like taken all these decades to come to the conclusion you need to preserve the body.
You know something, though, that I didn't realize? I think Larry McCarron and a couple of those guys had told me this. I mean, everybody talks about Forrest Gregg, how hard he was, and yada, yada, yada. They said Bart Starr's practices were harder.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm amazed at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
The other thing, I remember talking to Gary Ellis one day. He said, well, you know, in Bart's day, we hit every practice.
Yeah.
Every practice.
Yeah. You know, but they had a tremendous offense. You have to give them that.
Oh, yeah, though. No question.
But the biggest change I see, at least from afar, John, is the fact that we used to have to chase. It was almost every day you were trying to get that story or break that story. Now they herd them in.
I know.
In front of everyone. Everyone has the same chance to interview. You don't get that intimacy that we used to get with the players.
And I always felt with this, the way it is now, that you might have this question you've thought up that's going to be a great, great question. And now you ask it, and everybody takes it like it's theirs.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a huge change. And also, we used to march right into Judge Perrin's office,
absolutely.
Bart's office, whatever.
Absolutely. Now Bob Harlan's.
Now you can't even up to the backer offices.
I mean, just walk
offices.
Into the training locker room.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in the back loading dock. Just,
exactly.
Just walk in.
And, you know, we weren't a threat.
No.
You know, we did our jobs. We had to say what we had to say on the air. But it wasn't taken personally.
No.
And
exactly.
As a result, we had a great relationship with the organization, and now it's become, and I hate to say big business, but it's really a multi-billion dollar business now.
Yeah, and they've got their people now, too, where they control things. You know, they've got their, not just, it used to be an agent,
right.
But now they have a team.
Oh, yes.
And you can just tell with some of the sound bites, it's like, okay, that was structure or practice.
It almost sounds like NASCAR, where they have had a PR person and handlers
coach.
Who teach them how to answer questions.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. It's not far removed from, remember, the Olympics back in the day. And I used to cover pro skiing when I worked in Idaho in my first job.
Oh, wow.
There was a pro skiing circuit back in those days. And they would never do an interview without their cap pulled down so the logo and their skis, Rossignol,
right next
to them in the picture. I mean, that was as big of a part for doing it as anything. Yeah.
Exactly.
But you know what? In those days, though, too, the guys, and we talk about this all the time, they were a little bit more normal guys in regards to them and their wives would get together all the time and we'd see them out at different places. And there was just a certain type of camaraderie that I don't think we'll ever see again.
Well, that's true. And, you know, the money has changed everything. I read something the other day that just fascinated me. The great Al Kaline played 21 years with the Detroit Tigers, had an off-season job all 21 of those years, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Today, you can come out of college and you're set for life. Some of these
guys...
You might
be able to come out of high school.
That's right.
Set for a lot of years.
And you know, some of these guys will never be able to outspend the money they're making. They'll try, but they won't be able to outspend
it. Kirk Cousins and those people.
Right.
No, it's like, are you kidding me?
I know.
But another thing with the guys in that era, and I joked about this with Matt Brock. I said, Matt, I mean, with the money people are making now, I said, you know what our inducement was to try to get somebody to come over at like 10:30 on a Sunday night after they'd just been beaten by the Vikings? He goes, I said, it was a gift certificate for an oil change.
Yes.
And you know what? No one turned it down.
That's right.
And there were times when I was in the locker room where they did, hey, Mino, I forgot my oil change. Can you get it for me? And they would still take those oil changes.
And I think once upon a time, too, we also had a clothing store. And it might have been $100, which was a big
amount. It was in the mall downstairs
here. Yes.
No. It was a leather place.
Mayor,
Paulo's.
We're just talking about the good old days.
Daryl, Paulo's? Something like that, Paulo's?
Was that...
It was in the mall here.
You're probably right.
I think that was that. Wasn't that quarterback's place, that country place? Is that what you're talking about?
No. It was right in the old mall here.
Okay.
The right downtown mall that they never should have been torn down.
The thing that had a lifespan of like 6 years,
and we kept it around for tearing that down.
I'll take total credit for that.
That was my favorite place to go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's why.
A big cookie and Orange Julius.
Wasn't there a place called Wilson's?
Yes.
That was in the mall or something?
Yes. Yeah, maybe that was the leather place.
But I just remember, you know, we were talking about Lynn Dickey back when we were doing those shows. A $50 gift certificate, $100 gift certificate. Oh, yeah. That was big stuff. And
that
the players
huge.
Would come on
oh,
for that.
Oh, they would take those.
Didn't Whitehurst do a whole country western store? I think he did.
He was before me, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Anyway, I never covered him.
All right. Although they had
Facebook
the country.
Friended him, and I'm trying to get him on.
All right. Cool.
He's a great guy.
Anyway.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I don't know him.
Really?
No. Well, he got cut right when I got.
He comes back for that alumni thing.
You know, one other thing, though, too, and you've dealt with players over the years. If you find that select few, like you and A.J. Hawk, Donald Driver, you know, there's a certain group that no matter what the time period is, they're just the guys.
Right.
Absolutely. Loyal. They'll go the extra mile. They don't want anything. They just like, look, I think you're doing a good job. I love the city, and I want to support.
And Daryl would understand this more than anybody else. Larry McCarron and I always say, it's 2 minutes to show. You're in front of a live audience, and you got a Venus swimwear supermodel walks in the door and wants to go out and have drinks with you. Or the third string left tackle just walked through the door. Who are you more excited to see? Is that true?
That's funny.
That was always Larry McCain. Okay, so you got a supermodel. Walks in. Larry, I want to go and take you out for drinks. Or the left guard who's got a broken ankle and isn't going to play for his year walks through.
All right, Daryl, we're going to see you this weekend.
Good invitation.
He just broke his ankle.
Right.
He's not even going to play. He might get amputated.
Oktoberfest.
For a guest.
Oktoberfest. Come and see. This is a great lineup of German engineering, German cars.
Oh, we have to talk about German food.
And great German food, too, right? And you got German beer, too, I see.
We do. Authentic German beer.
$15 a person. Bring the family. Bring your friends. 2 to 6 p.m. The Automobile Gallery. 400 South Adams. Oktoberfest this Saturday.
Boom.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Once again, thank you to Daryl Burnett coming here to talk about Oktoberfest, which to be taking place on Saturday from 2 till 6 at the Automobile Gallery, 400 South Adams Street in Green Bay. $15 admission for the entire day. An amazing German car exhibit. Also, all kinds of German food. You'll be loaded with that. That sounds like a really great event. Newski is the big sponsor for this.
Right. German beer, German food, and a lot of German cars. What did he say? Over $1 million of vehicles they're bringing in.
It's
the guy
amazing.
From Iowa brought a car up. And but you like German vehicles. That is the place to be. We're going, John.
All right. We're going. Scott and James.
Yes.
Great to have you here. Introduce yourselves. Has it been about 3 weeks?
It's been about 3 weeks.
Because Packers had their last exhibition game that night,
right,
didn't they?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right.
So go ahead. Introduce yourself, what you were here for, and why you're here again today. Because this is really interesting stuff.
Jim Fitzgerald, and I'm the president of the As You Were Foundation, a foundation that works with veterans one-on-one and gives them the opportunity to tell their military story and song. And we work with them each individually, and then we will be hosting events where they can come in with their families and essentially be reacclimated back into the world that they left before they went on to service. With me is James Goodlison. He's the vice president of the foundation. James?
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, James.
Hi, James.
I got involved with Jason Seaver several years ago, and I was very fortunate to have him write my military story.
Neat.
So, we've really gotten involved, and if you really want to find out more about us and donations or whatever, go to asyouwereusa.org and look through our website, and there's also a button there that you can donate a little something.
Nice. Well, let's talk about this special one. We had the singer in here from Nashville a few weeks ago, and he was doing one on Iwo Jima.
Right. John, you were so kind. Jason Seaver was here, and he was one of the talents, of course. He's also the founder of the foundation that we had in, and you were so kind to offer to give him a sample of the black sand of Iwo Jima. And just so happens that Jason, in turn, talked to Daniel Davis. And for those who are listening, we had the World War II tribute guitar here that Daniel Davis had built. And he said, if you get that sand, he said, I'd like to incorporate that into the guitar. And you were kind enough to fulfill that promise. And we're so ever thankful for that.
Awesome.
Because it's going to be a nice ad.
Well, it's going to be very cool to have that. And I don't know how he's going to do that, but there's some, I'm sure he's going to talk about that too.
Is that enough? Will that do the trick for him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll just sprinkle that and put that on the front. And that's just, that's awesome. I think that's going to be very special.
Now, let me ask you this. With everybody doesn't get a guitar.
No.
But I mean, so this is a very special guitar, like a one-of-a-kind guitar.
Yes. It is a one-of-a-kind. James, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
It is. What they're going to do with the sand is the challenge coin that was in the neck of the guitar at the very top.
Yeah.
They're going to remove that challenge coin and make a clear plastic coin, and they're going to put this sand in that plastic coin.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's awesome.
So, Jim Fitzgerald, your foundation, you need money. You have events coming up. I mean, how can people participate? This is really cool what you and James are doing.
The asyouwereusa.org is really where you want to go to find out information about our foundation. But again, we will have events around the area, around the country, actually.
How did it go at Burkle's that night?
Sold out.
Great.
It was a sold out event. We made some good dollars, and that will help us. You know, our foundation is in its first year.
Right.
And now we're going to look at putting on board members across the country so we can do this all over the United States.
Neat.
Interesting note about this, the Don Graves story that Jason Seaver told.
The Iwo Jima veteran?
Yes. When Jason was here, he talked about Don Graves being the last original flamethrower.
Wow.
That's alive. Don Graves is going to turn 100 years old in March. And he is still as spry and out advocating for veterans all across the
country.
Where
does he live?
He lives in Texas, I want to say.
Okay, I believe it's Texas.
Yeah, it's in Texas. And Jason had done his song, The Sands of Iwo Jima. And he sang that song the last time he was here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that is a tremendous opportunity for us to really take this nationwide. And he has been a strong advocate. Don Graves has been a strong advocate for us.
And the last of the flamethrowers.
The last of the flamethrowers. And, John, here's the interesting thing. He not only was the last of the flamethrowers, but he is the last individual alive that watched them raise the flag.
Wow.
On Mount Suribachi.
That's incredible.
You know, and that Mount Suribachi story, that course, that's a whole different, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, it is.
You know, they went through all the process of having to identify the people in the picture.
And they just re-identified them a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And there was some confusion on one of them that ended up to be Ira Hayes.
Well, James Bradley, too.
Yeah,
was right. The big confusion. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, we all know that Ira Hayes story was told in the movie The Outsider.
With Tony Perkins.
Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis.
Yeah.
Played his part, yeah.
Yeah.
Then Johnny Cash did the big song, Ira Hayes.
The Ballad of Ira Hayes.
Yeah.
So there's quite a legacy out there.
Oh, no question.
And it's nice to be part of that. And it's nice that you have somebody like Don Graves who is willing to talk to young Americans, young people across the country, and reintroduce them to what men and women did, how they gave, how they sacrificed so that we could have the freedoms that we enjoy today. It's a remarkable story.
And do that through song is great because it's repetitive and every time you hear
it, you remember it.
Well, you hear something else too sometimes, you know, when you read something twice or three times or listen to music. So this as you were USA.org, what if someone has someone that wants their story written? Is that something they would go through this as well?
Yes. James, go ahead.
Yes, there's a spot for songwriting on the website. And you fill out the form, and, you know, not everybody, we wish we could write for absolutely everybody, but there is a process that you'll have to go through, and you can do that again on asyouwereusa.org.
All right, and what about the artist? If an artist wants to participate, finds it in his heart that he'd like to write some music, and that's on the website as well? That's an option?
They would have to call. That would, I think, be a board decision.
Okay.
To take on another writer.
I have a nephew who's in Nashville that is a great writer, so we'll do that off air.
He's a songwriter?
Yeah. Well, he's really good. But I think there's people who want to do this and not charge. They just, you know, these kids, he's 30 years old, but have freedoms, and they know where it came from. And I think to honor that through music with one of your participants, I think, is just, it's good for everybody.
I want to get him on the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would he come on the radio show, do you think?
Who?
Don Graves?
I think so.
Okay.
We can. I certainly would be willing to ask that question.
We've had 100-year-olds on here before.
we've had people who act like they're...
from Pulaski. Yeah. Jack.
There are mornings I feel like 100 years old.
And that's same here.
I just wanted to share another thing. The night of the event that we had here in Green Bay here 3 weeks ago, we also introduced another song that evening. And the song was written for a veteran who lives in Green Bay here. His name is John Piper.
Oh, sure.
I call him John 316 because I could never remember his last name. So that was an easy way for me to do it. But I interviewed him, John, and I know you'd appreciate this being a writer. And Jim, you know, you've been to the fair and so many times with some of these events. And here's what he said. We all sat around the TV, me, mom and dad and the kids, ready to watch the draft. It didn't take long. The second date pulled was December 24th. I went to the VA in Milwaukee and said, take me, I'm in. I mean, my number's been called. They bust me back home to break the news to my parents. It was a pretty sight and hit my mom hard. I sat and listened to him tell me that story, and I thought to myself, put yourself in that living room. Ugh. Put yourself in the position to have to face the fact that your number was the second drawn. Young people today don't understand what the draft was or is. Here's a gentleman telling that story. And then we find out that his brother, who is in high school at the time, younger brother, had been given an assignment in his English class to write a story. And he writes the story, which turned out to be a poem called Billy. And I asked John Piper, I said, why Billy? And he said, because back in the day, the Vietnam War veteran was not very well liked. And so my brother didn't want to identify me as the veteran. And he writes the story of Billy and how he watched his brother go off to war. Guys, there wasn't a dry eye in the house when that song ended, right?
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. And you talk about the emotion in this music, and I just think the how important that was. I mean, Merry Christmas, right? Christmas Eve, he stepped up, and yet he went down there. I'm in.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I've had several guys said this. It's like, okay, I know I'm going to go the quicker I go, the quicker I'm back home. There's a little bit of that. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I'm out of options, you know, and they just, you know, but think about it. One of the guys whose story I'm working on right now for my book, he waited like 4 years. He got out of high school, did not want to go to college, finally went to the Manitowoc Center or something for a couple of years, was majoring, but that was a 2-year school, right?
Yes.
Was majoring in education. So he got, if you were in education, you got deferments. Well, he didn't want to be a teacher. So you know what I mean? It just kind of gets to that point where he basically says the same thing. Okay, you know what?
Right.
It's going to happen. Let's get it over with. Yeah. So there was a little bit of that attitude where guys just like, I don't see another option here.
Right.
So, and sometimes when they would do that, they would at least be promised a better MOS, a better specialty, because they're volunteering.
I've interviewed some people on my show and talked about, I don't know if that patriotism is as strong as it was back then. I don't know. You know, you guys deal with it every day, but just anecdotally, I don't see that. What's it going to take? And this will help. These songs, this music, what you're doing is to, wait a minute, I can do what I want because of these guys. You know what I mean? I think that's important that we remind people of how good life is. And somebody said, well, you know what? We need to get patriotism back up, another 9/11. I'm like, really? That's what we got to do? We got to kill 3,000 people in our own soil? Yeah. There's got to be a better way.
And I think we've got a great young generation. I mean, we had the recruiter in.
I agree.
Grant, we've got a great young group of human beings out there right now. They'll answer the call. I mean, they really were. Those poor Vietnam guys. I mean, nobody knew where Vietnam was. Nobody knew why we were going there. Nobody knew. You know what I mean? And you'd see the body bags on the news every night and those kind of things. So I give those guys all the credit in the world, man, for what they ended up doing to go to such a unpopular war and so many casualties. It's mind-boggling.
Well, and I think you, I mean, but what underscores all of that is, you know, we like this music, right? What are we fighting for? Like, I don't know. You gotta have a mission. You gotta have a reason. You know,
right?
Yeah. I just don't think it was as clear as some other things are.
We can go back to the whole Gulf of Tonkin thing we're talking about. The LBJ.
Right.
Which, you know, I think this is awesome what you're doing, both you guys. Yeah. This is great, making these stories come to life.
Right.
Thank you. It's an honor to do it. It's an honor to be involved, and we'll continue to grow and expand it. And as we do, we'd love to continue to partner with you and get the word out here.
You bet. And again, whatever leftover sand you have, find a good place for it, okay?
You bet.
All right.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Jim.
It'll all go into the guitars.
It'll all go to the guitars? Awesome. Right. Great.
AsYouWereUSA.org.
Absolutely.
Go to the website. Look this up. There's opportunities to donate. There's opportunities to learn. And, yeah, thank you guys for doing this. I mean, this is...
I think it's awesome.
So do I.
And I'd love to get him on the phone, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, can you work on that for me?
We'll work on that.
Great. That'd be fantastic.
Here's your assignment.
All right. We got to start a quick break. Carl Winter, NBC 26, will be joining us in a few minutes. Also, Heidi Sherman from Midwest Viking Fest, which is huge.
A big deal.
That's going to be taking place. Back after this.
The sand of Iwo Jima was a hellish shade of black, but God was with me on that island. The first time I'd prayed like that, patch of dirt out in the ocean that Roosevelt had to have. We lost 7,000 men there, so six could raise that flag. We fought for our freedom, we fought for the flag. We fought for each other, and we had each other's backs. I still pray for my brothers.
Don't forget, Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest is on right now. You've got till 8 o'clock to text in this hour's keyword. The keyword is green, G-R-E-E-N. That is green. Download the Civic Media app. Find our stations, WGBW or WISS. Use the text button at the bottom of your screen. Send that keyword right now for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Again, the word this hour is green. You've got till 8 o'clock to get that in and get a shot to win. Go for the green or gold with Civic Media and Mino and the Mayor. And now here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt. I was waiting for you guys to take over there.
But that's
yes,
right.
He's going on and on. And
I thought you were doing something there.
He was doing great.
Oh,
he
was
reiterating our contest that's going on right now. And we were talking to our guests as they were leaving.
Special thanks to Jim and James.
Boy,
that song is
cool
great,
stuff.
Isn't it?
That is really...
Yes. I can't wait to see it with the sand actually embedded in the guitar.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be neat what he's going to do with that.
I didn't realize it was that dark, the sand.
Yeah, it looks like pepper.
It does.
It's exactly like pepper.
I have sand from Kuwait that a friend of mine wanted. I should give it to him. Like, how long have you been sitting on that sand? 6 years? No longer than that.
The stuff I've got?
Yeah.
Oh, probably 20.
Really? It was 20 years ago you were over there?
What are you talking about?
The sand that you got.
The sand I just gave
you? Yes.
Him? That was from Iwo Jima. I've never been there.
Okay.
Oh no, that was from an old veteran.
I see.
Who gave that to me?
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And you will be arrested if you take anything off of there these days.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, anything, like a grain of sand. It's like, no, this is a national preserved thing now.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to do anything. But this guy was stationed on there, so he did it at the time. I think it'd be so much fun though to go explore those old bunkers and things like that.
Yeah, you gotta get over there.
Well, you can't. They won't let you. You can't visit it. The Navy is... I think they gave it over back to the Japanese now, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was really, really, really restricted.
All right, but you've been to Normandy, right?
No.
That's on your bucket list.
That's where I need to
that's
go. Where, Normandy.
That's on your bucket
Absolutely.
List.
Absolutely.
Okay. I remember talking
Love
about
to go
that.
To Normandy.
What do you think the energy is like around places like that? Because, you know, ghost hunting and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm into all that.
I don't
wonder
know.
What that would be like.
Well, I bet that's... I bet that...
Knock you right off your feet.
Right.
I was reading one thing, I saw it on the Facebook type things, but a guy discovered a place, I want to say New Mexico, explorer, like, you know, half ashed, as we used to say, gold miners. So we had some of those in the UP because there'd been gold mines. You know, they'd pan and they'd dig and they whatever. And he found this cavern where I want to say there were 22 Spanish soldiers, you know, the Spaniards when they invaded, all laying there, you know, their bones, with all their equipment laid out perfectly with them and everything. And wow. He said it was the eeriest thing he's ever been around. And I thought about you, Todd. I thought, oh, Todd would like this
place. Oh, yeah. Turn on the meter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Light it up.
Yeah. But anyway, big things taking place around the area this weekend. And we're going to be talking, as we mentioned, about Viking Fest coming up a little bit. We got Carl Winter from NBC 26 coming in the house. Got a lot of stuff to talk about.
And the whole Packer game, too, right?
And I mean, we got, you
build
know what?
It around that.
I got to tell you something else about that. We always talk about, you know, living in Green Bay. And this has been kind of a, I don't want to say a boring start to the season, but I mean, okay, they played in Brazil, which was great, but it was a disaster, you know, with what happened. Right. Okay. And then, you know, you got the Colts, which aren't exactly one of those teams you get. And then you got another team, Tennessee. But now we got the Vikings in Green Bay. This is Titletown. This is the fun part of living in Titletown. I mean, I want to see a whole bunch of Viking jerseys walking around here this week. Want to see the bridge purple. Want to do the whole thing. This is when it's really fun. When you got a big rival. I mean, literally, you almost wait all year for a weekend like this.
So is this, to you, is this a bigger rival or is it still the Bears?
I say it's the Vikings.
Yeah,
the Bears have just been so terrible. I mean, God bless them. But what was Rodgers, 26-5?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
Right.
You know?
And the Vikings are easy to not like.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's what I...
They don't give you a reason to like them. They
just everything about them.
Nothing.
The only thing they've got going for them, I will say this, is they really honor Prince in their stadium.
Like you said, they got nothing going for them.
I was going to say, I like the state a lot.
Yeah.
I really do. I like Minnesota a lot, but I hate that team.
Oh, yes. I hate it. So I despise it. Because I think I'm still scarred a little bit from living up there when they went to the Super Bowl twice and the Packers were horrific. I took a pounding from Viking fans up there in those days. So I've never forgotten that. Never, ever, ever forgotten. With Chicago fans, it's always been a fun kind of thing. Lions fans has been a fun type of thing. But something about the Vikings thing was they took that a step further.
And there'll be a lot of purple here.
Oh,
I mean, that's
man.
So, what, 5-6 hours? So that, yeah, they'll
be loaded with purple.
It will.
Will it start on Friday, do you think?
Yeah.
Well, the two-night minimum.
Right.
Is it a noon game? Yeah, it'll start Friday because they'll leave after the game.
Isn't it a 3 o'clock game?
No, I think it's at noon, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think it's at noon.
I don't know.
There's a whole bunch of noon games this year.
Well, there's
year.
An event this weekend, isn't there? And they're doing the meat raffle or something like that at noon because it's a 3:15.
Oh, yeah. At D's.
At D2.
Double D's.
No, not D2. It's called D2.
D2's.
The Go-Go Dancers.
Yeah. What's that?
The Go-Go Dancers.
I still don't believe that.
John, where have you been? When you go to the games, where do you
I don't
park?
Go to
where
the
do
games.
You walk? Oh, well, that's why you don't see it.
Yeah, okay. I mean, when I did go to the games, I parked right across from the stadium and then just went. I never go to the bars, never go to the tailgates.
Okay, that walking up Stadium Drive or Armed Forces Drive, I should say, that's fun. It's cool.
Well, I'll bet.
That's where the Pope is and, you know, those guys who drop up in costume and it's just, and they have the dancers at D2 and then
so
there's
that are they the D2 dancers? I mean, I
would think
kind of like the Solid Gold Dancers.
Yeah, right. I'm asking. Like I think the Solid Gold Dancers.
Yes,
okay.
I would say yes. I don't know.
I remember seeing video of the most famous bars of all time in Hollywood.
Oh,
Whiskey
yeah.
A Go Go.
Whiskey A Go Go.
Some of the biggest names ever got their start there, right, Todd?
What's up? One of the best stories, and I think I've said this on the show. Was Ronnie Millsap. He was playing Whiskey A Go Go. And all he said this at the Grand Ole Opry. What he kept saying to himself was, God, please let me just see for 5 minutes.
Yeah, that was the place.
I just, the excitement this weekend, and it is great that we're playing the Vikings. And I was looking at the odds. We got to talk about that maybe tomorrow.
Right.
We're going to go to the casino this afternoon and play some bets. But
okay.
That tailgating, I think, is just awesome. I just love it.
You know what?
I'm going to tailgate.
This year I can do it. This year I hope to tailgate.
Yeah.
I haven't been invited to any, but if there is one that's going to invite me, I'll tailgate.
Okay.
All right, guys, a quick break. Back right after this. I could leave, but I
won't go. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.